Imagine getting a speeding ticket in the mail 30 days after you drove, but your car never told you the speed limit changed. If you run an e-commerce business, well, your payment processor is doing exactly this to you every single month.
Yeah, it is a massive silent drain on margins.
Right. Welcome to our deep dive into the 2026 landscape of card-not-present costs. If you are an operator for a U.S. merchant processing between $25,000 and $5 million monthly, this conversation is custom-tailored for you. I am your host and an analyst here at MyPayAdvisor, joined by our senior payments advisor.
Glad to be here. We have a lot of hard numbers to get through today.
We really do. Today, we have a stack of primary sources on the table. We are looking at the latest Visa USA interchange reimbursement fee schedule, Federal Reserve payment studies, public pricing disclosures from Stripe and Square, and processor pricing data from the Nielsen report.
Exactly. Some really dense material, but super important.
Right. So our mission today is to look at the mechanics behind one very specific number. For operators on flat rate plans, the benchmark cost for online transactions sits at 2.9% plus 30 cents.
Yep, that is the public rate everyone knows.
So we are going to unpack the three hidden layers of card not present premiums stacked inside that number and provide a concrete action plan for you to stop bleeding margin. Let's get right into the mechanics of that 2.9%.
Okay, let's do it.
Why does a transaction mathematically cost a merchant more when a customer types their card into a checkout page compared to, you know, tapping it at a physical terminal?
Well, to understand the origin of that 2.9% flat rate, we really have to pull apart the underlying costs set by the payment chain. The card-not-present premium actually consists of three distinct layers.
Okay, three layers. What is the first one?
Layer one is the interchange rate. This is set directly by the card network, so primarily Visa and MasterCard. If you open up the Visa USA interchange reimbursement fee schedule, the base category for an online consumer credit card is called CPS e-commerce basic.
Right. And what is the actual cost there?
That rate is 1.80% plus 10 cents. Now compare that to a physical swipe or tap. The physical rate, which is called CPS retail, is only 1.51% plus 10 cents.
Wait, so there is a 30 basis point gap right out of the gate just for the privilege of taking the payment online?
Yeah. Exactly.
Why does Visa charge that premium if the electronic routing is largely the same? I mean, data is data, right?
It comes down to fraud mechanics. The Federal Reserve payment studies confirm that card-not-present fraud accounts for the majority of card fraud losses in the United States.
Oh, wow. The majority.
Yeah. Online payments represent a smaller share of the total transaction count compared to physical retail, but they generate the lion's share of the financial losses. When a physical card is tapped, a cryptogram is generated by the chip that makes cloning nearly impossible.
Right, but online you don't have that chip.
Exactly. Online, the networks were relying on static numbers typed into a browser. So the networks charge that extra 30 basis points to cover the elevated risk of issuing banks basically eating those fraud losses.
Okay, that makes sense. It is like a risk premium.
Right. But that is only layer one. Layer two is the processor markup, which is where your provider adds their profit margin on top of the network cost. And finally, layer three is downgrade risk.
Downgrade risk.
Yeah, this is a penalty applied when a transaction misses specific data requirements.
Okay, I like to think of this like shipping a package. Layer one is the base postage fee, layer two is the middleman handling fee, and layer three is a penalty charge for formatting the address incorrectly.
That is a really great way to look at it.
But let me pause on layer two, the processor markup. If the base network cost is only 1.80%, how do processors justify stacking another 100 basis points on top to reach that 2.9% benchmark?
Well, processors justify it through the convenience of bundled software and easy onboarding. You know, it just works. But the reality is that the massive gap between the network cost and the merchant cost is exactly how processors camouflage their margin.
Camouflage, so they are actively hiding it.
Oh, yeah. They do this primarily using flat rates and tiered pricing models. Let's look at the math using a real-world example from our pricing data sources. Consider a software-as-a-service merchant billing $200,000 in monthly volume.
Okay, 200 grand a month.
Right. They are on a published flat rate of 2.9% plus 30 cents, which is the standard public rate for providers like Stripe and Square. If you run the volume fee and the per-transaction fee on roughly 500 monthly transactions, their total monthly cost is $5,950.
Man, nearly $6,000 just to take the payments. If you are listening to this and looking at your dashboard thinking that the flat rate is so easy because it integrates with your site in two clicks, you are right. but you are paying a massive premium for that user experience.
A huge premium.
Let's look under the hood of that $200,000. A standard B2B software merchant doesn't just process consumer credit cards.
Exactly. Their card mix usually looks something like 70% consumer credit, 20% corporate credit, and 10% debit.
And debit is way cheaper, right?
Much cheaper. According to the network schedules, if you add up the true cost of those network fees across that specific mix, plus the non-negotiable pass-through fees paid to Visa and MasterCard called assessments, the actual mathematical cost to process that $200,000 is just under $4,000.
Wait, really? Out of that $200,000, your actual network costs are under $4,000, but your flat rate processor is charging you almost $6,000.
Yep, you got it.
That is a $2,000 invisible tax every single month just for a hosted checkout page. Over a 36-month window, that merchant is paying $72,000 in pure processor margin.
It is wild when you break it down like that. But the alternative to giving up that margin is an Interchange Plus pricing model. Under Interchange Plus, the processor passes the true network cost directly to the merchant and charges a fixed, transparent markup.
Okay, so what does a fair markup look like in that model?
A typical transparent processor might charge a markup of 53.0% plus 10 cents. If our SaaS merchant switched to that model, their effective rate falls from 2.98% to 2.30%, saving them over $16,000 a year.
That is a serious hit to the bottom line. But if the map heavily favors Interchange Plus, why do operators agree to tiered or flat rate pricing? Are processors actively hiding the underlying interchange costs on the monthly statements?
Simply put, yes. Processors are not legally required to show you the base interchange cost unless you have an Interchange Plus contract. On a tiered pricing plan, the processor labels transactions with vague terms like mid-qualified or non-qualified.
Mid-qualified, that sounds so official.
Right, it sounds like a network rule. So a transaction that mathematically costs 1.80% at the network level might appear on a tiered statement as a 2.50% mid-qualified charge. The processor disguises a 70 to 80 basis point markup as a network cost, rather than admitting it is their own profit margin.
That is incredibly sneaky.
It is. They rely on the sheer complexity of the Visa and MasterCard schedules, which are hundreds of pages long, to keep merchants completely in the dark.
So the processor takes that hidden margin, but even if you fix that, your software might still be leaking money. Let's say a merchant listens to this, calls their provider, and negotiates a totally transparent interchange plus contract. They can still lose money if their software submits bad data.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is very true.
This brings us to the third layer of the card not present tax, which is downgrade risk.
This is the silent killer of merchant margins. A card not present transaction lives or dies on the data your gateway submits to the network. The interchange rate is determined by the specific data fields flowing through the authorization and clearing process.
So if data is missing, you pay more.
Exactly. If your system drops specific fields, the networks apply a penalty. The sources detail three specific data failures that trigger these silent downgrades. First, missing address verification system data, known as AVS, and missing the CVV code.
Okay, so the billing address and that little code on the back.
Right. If your gateway does not pass the full address and zip code, along with this CVV result, Visa drops the transaction from the base e-commerce rate to a category called EIRF.
EIRF, that stands for Electronic Interchange Reimbursement Fee, right?
Yes, it does.
And hitting EIRF adds a massive 50 basis point penalty to the transaction. But let me push back here. Why wouldn't a gateway send a zip code? It seems like basic functionality. Is there a back-end technical glitch that triggers this?
You know, it is rarely a glitch. It is usually a deliberate choice by the merchant's web developer.
Wait, really? A deliberate choice?
Yeah, because developers are obsessed with reducing card abandonment. They know that every extra field a customer has to type on a mobile phone reduces the conversion rate. So the developer configures the checkout form to only ask for the card number and expiration date, completely bypassing the billing zip code.
Wow, so they are trading margin for conversion.
Exactly. The transaction will still approve. But because the AVS date is missing, Visa assumes it is a high-risk transaction and hits you with that 50 basis point EIRF penalty. If you have a 10% downgrade rate on $200,000 in volume, you are bleeding $1,200 a year in completely avoidable costs just because your developer wanted a cleaner checkout page.
Okay, so missing a zip code triggers the first penalty. What is the second data failure?
Late settlement. To understand this, you need to understand the two-step dance of credit card processing. Step one is authorization, where your gateway pings the issuing bank to freeze the funds on the customer's card.
Like checking into a hotel.
Exactly. And step two is clearing, or settlement, where your system actually requests the transfer of those frozen funds. Visa requires that second step to happen within a specific window, typically 1 to 3 days.
But why would a merchant wait 3 days to capture their own money?
Well, they usually don't do it on purpose. It happens frequently with subscription billing engines.
Oh, like sauce companies running monthly renewals.
Right. These engines often have built-in retry logic for declined cards. They might batch authorizations together or delay the capture process while the system tries to update expired cards on file. If they delay the capture too long and miss that settlement window, the authorization goes stale.
And then what happens?
When the batch finally settles, Visa drops the transaction all the way down to the standard rate. Standard is the absolute catch-all penalty category, and it costs 2.95% plus 10 cents. It completely wipes out any savings you negotiated on your processor markup.
That is brutal. Okay, so missing AVS is failure one, late settlement is failure two. What is the third failure?
Missing level two data. This specifically impacts B2B operators who accept corporate or government cards.
And commercial cards are famously expensive to process.
Oh, notoriously expensive, often costing 2.50% or more. But Visa and MasterCard offer reduced rates if the merchant submits extra information, like line item details, tax amounts, and customer codes with the transaction. This is called level two and level three data.
So you give them more data, they give you a discount.
Exactly. If a B2B operator fails to submit this data, they miss out on commercial card discounts ranging from 45 to 100 basis points.
I think of level two data like going through airport security. If you just show your boarding pass, which is your basic card data, you get the standard pat down, you wait in the long line, and you pay the high fee in time and hassle.
That is a great comparison.
Right. But if you have TSA PreCheck and provide your background info up front, which is your level two tax data, you get to breeze through the fast lane at a massive discount. Do most modern payment gateways fix this automatically, or does the operator have to manually configure their system to pass level two data?
What is really frustrating for operators is that most gateways do not fix this by default. Most e-commerce plugins are designed for speed of integration, not cost optimization.
So they just want you up and running fast.
Right. They authorize the card quickly, but they do not automatically extract and map your line item tax data from your shopping cart to the final clearing record.
Yeah.
The operator almost always has to manually configure their gateway settings or install a specific level two data integration to ensure those fields are populated.
So if you don't actively turn it on, the gateway will leave it off and you will just pay the penalty rate.
Exactly. It is entirely on the operator to catch it.
Because card not present costs are so heavy and these hidden penalties are so steep, I see a lot of operators attempt to just pass the entire fee directly to the consumer. They put a checkout surcharge on the cart to cover the 2.9%. But executing this strategy opens the merchant up to a massive compliance minefield.
Oh, it is a minefield that can cost you your business. Surcharging is heavily regulated. The rules are strict and unforgiving.
What kind of rules are we talking about?
First, you have network rules. Under the Visa Core rules, the maximum you can surcharge a credit card is 3%. MasterCard publishes a 4% cap. Furthermore, merchants are required to formally register with the networks 30 days in advance before applying any surcharge to a checkout page.
And you are dealing with federal law as well, not just network rules.
Yes. The most critical federal regulation here is the Durbin Amendment, which was passed as part of the Dodd-Frank financial reform. The Durbin Amendment strictly prohibits merchants from surcharging debit cards, regardless of whether the transaction is run as signature or PN.
So debit cards are completely off limits.
You simply cannot apply a checkout fee to a debit card. Finally, you have state laws. Several states, including Massachusetts and Connecticut, have outright bans on credit card surcharging entirely.
Wow. Okay. So what is the penalty for messing this up?
If a merchant violates these rules, the card networks can issue severe financial fines. Worse, your acquiring bank can terminate your processing agreement with 24 hours notice.
Just 24 hours.
Yep. Losing your ability to process cards overnight is an existential threat to a mid-market business.
Let me challenge you on the technology side of surcharging, though. If a merchant installs an off-the-shelf surcharging plugin for their checkout page from a major software provider, aren't they automatically protected from accidentally surcharging a debit card? Doesn't the software handle the compliance by checking what kind of card it is?
You know, that is a very common misconception. Think about what happens when a customer clicks the pay button. The system has milliseconds to process everything.
Right, it happens instantly.
Well, to comply with the Durbin Amendment, The software has to read the bank identification number, or BIN, which is the first 6 to 8 digits of the card. The software then has to query a master BIN database, determine it is a debit card, and strip the 3% surcharge out of the cart total before sending the authorization request.
Okay, that sounds really complex for a simple plugin.
Exactly. Basic plugins simply do not have the technical architecture to perform that database query in the 200 milliseconds you have before the customer abandons the cart due to latency. They do not dynamically check the BCN.
So what do?
They just blindly apply a blanket 3% fee to the total TART value. If that cart happens to be paid with a debit card, the merchant is immediately placed in violation of federal law.
Oh, man. We have really diagnosed the disease today. We exposed the 100 basis point processor markup hidden in flat rates. We mapped out the data downgrades that act like hidden speeding tickets. And we walked through the technical failures of checkout surcharging. Now let's talk about the cure.
I like the sound of that.
Let's translate this data into a concrete playbook the merchant should execute this week to protect their margins.
I have a 4-step playbook that any operator processing over $25,000 a month should initiate immediately.
Okay, let's hear it.
Step 1 is the math check. Pull your last 3 monthly processing statements. Take your total fees paid and divide that number by your total processing volume.
And that gives you the effective rate, right?
Exactly. That gives you your effective card, not present rate. If your card mix is consumer heavy and that result is over 2.5%, well, you are paying too much and action is required.
Okay, so step 1 is find the effective rate. What is step 2?
Step 2 is the statement audit. Go line by line through those same statements and look for specific red flag words. Circle any fee categorized as EIRF, standard, mid-qualified, or non-qualified.
Because those are the penalty and tiered markup words.
Right. If you see those words, you're either suffering from data downgrades because of bad gateway settings, or you are trapped in a tiered pricing plan that is hiding processor margins.
And step 3 addresses the data failures on the software side.
Right. Step 3 is gateway hygiene. Log into your payment gateway dashboard and pull your transaction reports. You need to confirm that your domestic ABS pass rates are sitting above 95%.
And if they are below 95%?
If they are lower, you need to talk to your web developer and adjust your checkout page to force customers to enter valid zip codes. Also, if you process B2B volume, verify with your gateway provider that Level 2 data submission is actively turned on and successfully passing line item tax details. Don't assume it is working just because you requested it during setup.
Got it. And step 4 is where we negotiate.
Exactly. Step 4 is the market check. Request itemized interchange plus quotes from at least 3 different processors. Demand a sample statement that clearly separates the network interchange, the non-negotiable assessments, and the processor markup.
You want to see everything unbundled.
Yes. When you negotiate, insist on a flat per transaction markup, like 10 cents a swing, rather than a percentage spread. And most importantly, reject any early termination fees longer than 12 months. You don't want to be locked into a multi-year contract trap while the industry pricing continues to shift.
That is a phenomenal playbook for our operators. Calculate your effective rate, audit for downgrade terminology, fix your AVS and Level 2 gateway settings, and demand transparent interchange plus quotes with flat markups.
If they follow those 4 steps, they will stop bleeding that margin.
As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to mull over. We talked earlier about the TSA pre-check analogy and how data downgrades are like getting a penalty fee for not supplying background info. But think about the technology we are dealing with today.
It is incredibly advanced.
Right. Payment networks and giant processors have the infrastructure to route complex data around the globe, verify checking account funds, and authorize transactions in literal milliseconds. Yet, they still rely on independent merchants to manually optimize gateway settings for Level 2 data or settlement times.
It does make you wonder.
Why isn't this automatic? Are these complex systems intentionally designed to profit silently off of default configurations? It is definitely something to think about the next time you look at a 2.9% flat rate. Thank you for joining us on My Pay Advisor.